accommodated by you, because of you. Because of you, I say.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحیم میں اور حمزہ عمرے سے آئے ہیں مجھے ہمیں بہت مبارک ہو عمرہ خود ہی کو مبارک بات ہی دیں تو اچھا ہے true حمزہ isn't it we can always give دعا to our own selves یہ تو برکت کی دعا ہے منڈے کو بھی کھلایا ٹیوزڈے کو بھی کھلایا اور لاسٹ وینسڈے واٹ ہیپن لاسٹ وینسڈے رشید ڈیڈ یو گیو آؤٹ آن لاسٹ وینسڈے ڈیڈ وی ہیو اے کلاس لاسٹ وینسڈے آل رائٹ وی ڈنٹ گیو اٹ آؤٹ بیکاز کٹانا وازنٹ ہیئر I feel like me going. Samne aa jao kar beta. Don't get squashed in one place. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wassalatu wassalamu ala Sayyidil Mursaleen. وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين أما بعد Before we start the lesson, boys, with my own self and for yourselves, I don't like to restrict ilm just for the sake of it, for the sake of knowing. We must always have very, very sincere intention of making a ilm a means of practice. Otherwise, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has called the Jews donkeys carrying the books. In the Quran, مَثَلُ الَّذِينَ حُمِّلُوا التَّوْرَاةَ ثُمَّ لَمْ يَحْمِلُوهَا كَمَثَلِ الْحِمَارِ What does حِمَار mean? ان کی مثال گدھوں کی طرح ہے جنہوں نے کتابیں اٹھائی ہوں. So the example given to those who have knowledge, who are carrying a ilm, but they don't put it into practice to their best of ability. Nobody is perfect. Only this is the being of Anbiya are perfect. But you do your best, you to the best of your ability, you do your best to practice. And this is your fikr, that you want to go, you want to do good. You don't restrict acquiring a ilm just for the sake of having knowledge. Koi nahi hai Abubakar? Sorry? Who? What about him? And I would like to pass this sort of concern to yourselves as well. Let us all the time think that Allah has given us knowledge. And what knowledge bigger than the knowledge of the whole Quran by memory? And if that is what is added with it, is also explanation to a certain extent that we are running these classes, then this is, yes, knowledge. But this knowledge only will become noor when it's practiced. When a ilm is attached with practice, then it becomes noor, it becomes ilme nafi', beneficial knowledge. I need to constantly remind ourselves of this knowledge that we have. Let's have it for the right, for the right reasons. Let's apply it, and let's apply it for the right reasons. There is so much khulus required when it comes to ilm and knowledge. Otherwise, it is deen of Allah being used for wrong reasons. That is worse than in being insincere in other departments of life. You know, insincerity can come in any walk of life, in any department. But no sincerity in deen is a bigger issue. So we pray to Allah Almighty to grant us all beneficial knowledge, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make these classes a means of practicing our ilm, not just addition of ilm. On top of the addition of ilm, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it a means of practice. Boys, especially for yourselves, Ramadan is coming up. For nobody, Ramadan is as important as Huffaz. Ramadan is not as important for anybody as it is for Huffaz. This is like their occasion. You know, when it comes to wedding, then the family say, this is our family wedding. And the family takes pride, it's our occasion. Gee. And you'll see the whole family, as a whole family, being very busy. There is one bride and the groom, they are extremely busy. And they are the main characters of the whole wedding, of the whole function. The whole limelight is on them, the groom and the bride. In the same way, when the Ramadan comes, although it is for the whole family of Ummah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, yet the brides and the grooms are the huffaz. The brides and the grooms of the month of Ramadan are huffaz. This is their occasion. Although everybody will celebrate, the whole ummah will celebrate. But who will sit on the stage? The huffaz. Now this is not just about for worldly purposes, for other ulterior motives. This should be for the pleasure of Allah, out of love for this book. Out of love for this book. This requires some preparation from now before it's too late. I already see we live in such a busy life, in such a busy world. And the world has become, and life has become so tense, so stressed and so busy that it doesn't allow us to think anything beyond the day-to-day activities. True? From early in the morning until late at night, we are just chasing a few things. And carrying out some domestic chores, some outside works, or just our living, and that's about it. We get tired and the day is over. It doesn't allow us to think, to plan about anything else on top, which believers and Muslims are supposed to do. And when you have a life like this, just one track life from day to night, chances are Ramadan, Shaban will come and go. Like, you know, we say that Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to make dua for Ramadan from the month of Rajab. So Rajab came and we kept on saying this, and Rajab went, no difference. It didn't have any impact. Then we said Shaban, he used to fast for most part of the month, Shaban will go and you'll realize that Ramadan is already here. Alif lam mim dhalikal kitabu la raiba fi hudal lil muttaqin. It's just about Taraweeh then. It's just about Taraweeh. فِي قُلُوبِهِمْ مَرَضْ فَزَادَهُمُ اللَّهُ مَرَضًا. No, we don't want to belong to that category where we only realize on the last day, the day before, that which four rakats am I going to lead? We don't want to be those who fuzz. Preparation is required now. And the biggest preparation is in the mirror, or just like a bride in the mirror of the dunya, how she's going to look on the occasion. These days even groom, they go out of way to do many things as well. So how is going to look on the day in front of everyone? Here we have to see that in the mirror of Allah, in the mirror of Allah, how are we going to be in Ramadan? And preparation is required from now. What preparation? Few preparations. Most important is Salat. Nothing more important than Salat after Iman. Nothing is more important than Salat after Iman. The Salat, five daily Salat from Fajr till Isha. And I'm asking you boys, that many of you now, you've got a job and you are in the university or whatever, right? Chances are most of the Salats go without getting them into the Masjid. At least if you start your Fajr Salat with Jamaat and you get your Isha Salat with Jamaat, then that makes you like a Hafiz and like a believer. Fajr na padi isle ke subah jaldi kaam pe jana hai. Ji, Isha Jamaat ke saath na padi isle ke thake huwe hain aur bachche hain, biwi hain, unka thoda bahut kaam hai, social life. So what is left then? Zohar has gone there, Asr has gone there, Maghrib has gone there, so what's left now? And next day is the same. Next day is the same. Saturday, Sunday comes and you feel that you need to take a break from everyone and you need to have a pure social, leisure, entertainment life. So you're busy there. Chalo, ek hafta gaya, Umar. Dusra hafta bhi isi tarah, mahina bhi isi tarah. Get this Fajr Salat early in the morning in the Masjid, in Jamaat. That gives you a good spiritual kick start. And get Isha Salat with Jamaat in the Masjid. So just about you'll manage to feel that you're a believer. Hasan padhte ho Jamaat ke saath Isha? Kyun? Thaka hua ho to. Kaam karne ke liye waqt hai. Har cheez ke liye waqt hai, beta. Ji? Now, is this thaka hua a good reason to Allah? Okay, I'll just ask you right the way I am, a father-like figure, ustad-like figure, and I say, Hasan, have you ready, Shah? Fine, what can I say other than that? Nothing. But is that a good reason in front of Allah? La yukallifu Allahu nafsan illa wusaha. Allah does not tax anybody above his capability. So if these five salats have been given, it means it is in every human being to make it if they want to. So Fajr you can't get it, Zohar no, Asr no, Maghrib no, Isha bhi no, phir kya raha? Question is, what is left then? What is left? This is the preparation required. Hence, may I exhort myself and yourselves that especially for our people who are Huffaz, and we will be the main characters during this month, it is important that we prepare spiritually for the month of Ramadan. And have you seen it? Even when Saturday, Sunday comes, there is no work. Are we there for namazis, for all five namazis with the Jamaat? Okay, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, we give ourselves excuses. Oh, I need to go to work. Ji, kaam pe jana hai, kaam. We've been making these excuses all the time. Saturday, Sunday comes, then what happens? So money calls and you are up. Your job calls and you're up. Ikram, true, isn't it? This is what's happening, isn't it? And things need to change. It's a different case, me and you, we've got wrong examples around us and we don't know what is the standard expected from me and you as ulama and huffaz. And we haven't got very good examples, but from the Quran and Hadith perspective, the standard set for us, our people, is very high. So I pray to Allah Almighty, may He gives me the tawfiq and as well as yourselves to make as much spiritual preparation as possible before the arrival of the holy month of Ramadan. And remember, the preparation is not alif lam mim dhalika al-kitabu la rayba fi. Quran pakka karna shuru karo. Or are you just going to rely on those four akas that you're going to lead? Every year, those four rakats get pakka, and all the rest, because of those four rakats, all the rest of the paths become neglected. Abu Bakr isi tarah hota hai. Ji? Ji? Sad but truth, true. You know, Hassan, when we started HIPS class, wallahi, my intention was we'll have the Huffaz manufactured here, and all our front rows are going to be occupied with Huffaz, rows after rows of Huffaz, reading away Quran. Gee, masjid will be buzzing with every recitation day and night. Everybody have different slots of coming and learning and reading. Gee, it's just Huffaz Idara, Huffaz Institution. How many do we see? ये तो मैं आप लोगों के साथ ज़बरदस्ती पकड़ पकड़ कर तुम्हारी दाढ़ियाँ खींच खींच कर और तुम्हारे कान खींच खींच कर मैं तुम्हें हिलाता हूँ. कटाना true false. There is a lot we all need to do, including myself, and I'm not advising just yourself, I'm advising my own self as well. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. Coming to the fiqh lesson. You know, we talk big fiqh lesson, and then phir fajr mein soye rahenge hum. We'll talk about the Bukhari and Imam Muslim and narrations and riwayat and hadith and za'if and sahih and everything. And then in the morning at fajr time, our iman is za'if. Abbas, you want to add something on top? It's enough, isn't it? Anyway, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. One verse of the Holy Quran. يريد الله بكم اليسر ولا يريد بكم العسر. Allah wants ease for you and He doesn't want hardships for you. But he's got His own criteria of what is ease and what is hardship. I don't want you to say, oh, in the Quran Allah says He wants ease and Fajr Salat is difficult, so you don't have to read because Fajr is hardship. Of course, Allah has got His own criteria of measuring what is ease and what is hardship. But generally, our deen, whatever has been given as a whole package of deen, this stands on ease and not on difficulty and hardship. مَا جَعَلَ مَا يُرِيدُ اللَّهُ لِيَجَعَلَ عَلَيْكُمْ مِنْ حَرَجٍ وَلَكِنْ يُرِيدُ لِيُطَهِّرَكُمْ. Allah does not want to put you in any form of difficulty. Yani whatever package of deen Allah has given you, the entire deen is based on simplicity and on ease and not on difficulty. This is why you will see many ahkam and legislations of Islam and deen are based on ease. For example, if you've got water, then yes, you make wudu. If there is no water, then in the absence of water, what does Islam say? Tayammum. Again, that is ease, flexibility, no rigidness. That it doesn't matter, you go and find water, no matter where you find it, right? You have to travel for miles and miles, go and get water and do wuzu and make salat. No, it doesn't have that rigidness. There is no water up to a certain degree, up to about a mile. All right. Then we won't ask you to go anything beyond a mile. If you can find it within a mile, within some time, fine. If you can't, just make tayammum and read wuzu and make salat. Or for example, if you can't read salat standing, Then he said, it doesn't matter. Make yourself comfortable, sit down and make your salat. Oh Allah, I can't even make my salat sitting. Oh, it doesn't matter. Lie down and make your salat. Oh, I can't even make salat lying down. Oh, it doesn't matter. Lie down, make yourself comfortable, and with the gesture of your head or your eyes, make the postures of salat and make salat. Even if you look at salat, if you are traveling, then just because you're traveling and you're always in a rush to get to the destination, isn't it? When we are traveling, we always, our target is getting to the destination, getting to the destination. And we always in a rush. Because of this, Islam has said what? Zohar, Asr and Isha can be reduced to 2 rakats. You don't have to read your sunnahs and nafal salat. Salats are reduced just to make matter more easier. If somebody is reading nafal salat, then these are additional salat. So again, there is flexibility. It doesn't matter whether you are reading sitting or whether you are standing. You want to read nafal salat and you are traveling. It doesn't matter if you don't know the direction, just read salat in whichever direction you are traveling. You don't have to be turning around whilst you are traveling to get the direction of Qibla. So if you look at overall, the whole concept of deen is based on simplicity and on ease. Even in fasting, for example. Fasting, if you can't fast, there's always an alternative. Okay, give monetary compensation, give fidya. It doesn't say, it doesn't matter, starve yourself to death. And still you have to fast. Whether it's Hajj, again, it doesn't say everybody has to go for Hajj. Those who can manage, those who've got mahram, those who've got the means, they have to go for Hajj. Others, if you don't have the means, you don't have to go. So you'll find flexibility in the Sharia, and this is typical the taste of the Sharia. That we don't want to create hardships for yourself. However, what we want to do is find out, set our own criteria of what is ease and what is hardship, and we make our own rulings. No. What Islam is saying, that the package we have given you, it's a package based on flexibility and not rigidness. It's a package based on ease and not difficulty. Amongst this, to make things easier for yourself, there is one more issue where Allah, Islam has given you the flexibility, has given me and you the flexibility. And that is in the matters of wudu. In the matters of wudu, Quran has explicitly explained that you have to wash your face, you have to wash your arms, and you have to wash your feet. But within this wudu, for our ease and comfort, Islam has allowed that if somebody is wearing footwear, a proper footwear, then he does not necessarily need to take the footwear off and wash his feet. He is allowed to make masah on the footwear. This is another flexibility in the department of wudu been given. Understand what I'm saying? That one of the flexibility in the matters of wudu is Islam has allowed a person, when they are making wudu and they choose not to take their proper footwear off. Of course, I'll go into the detail of the footwear later. They don't have to take the footwear off and wash their feet necessarily. It is enough for them just to keep the footwear on and just make masa over them. In other words, just pass wet hands and moist hands over them. This is another flexibility that we enjoy in the matter of wudu. This particular subject is called masah alal khuffayin. To make masah on the khufs. Khuf, it means the leather socks. Khuf, one, leather sock. I don't know whether you can see a singular in English of sock. Right. So, leather sock, khuf. Khufaini or khufani means dual, two socks. So, masah alal khufaini means to make masah on the two socks, on the two leather socks. So, this subject comes under the title called masah alal khufain. Masah, we already know, we all know. Masah means to pass your hands. In Islam, it means to pass your moist hands over something. So you say, masah ala ras, sarka masah, masah of your head. Or you say, masah of your ears. Or you say, masah of your neck. Or you say, masah of the khuffain. So masah means rubbing and passing your wet hands. It could be on your head like we do in wuzu. It could be of your ears. And it could well be over your leather socks. So the particular leather socks one is called masah alal khuffayin. Quran strictly says, and this was the Quran verse revealed first, in Surah Maida, the ayat that we come across, فَغْسِلُوا وُجُوهَكُمْ وَأَيْدِيَكُمْ إِلَى الْمَرَافِقِ وَمْسَحُوا بِرُؤُوسِكُمْ وَأَرْجُلَكُمْ إِلَى الْكَعْبَيْنِ. Yeh jo wuzu ki ayat hai, in which Allah says, wash your face, your arms, make masa of your head and wash your feet. This is in Surah Maida. This was revealed in the sixth year or the seventh year Hijri. But Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, despite the fact that Quran says wash your feet, it doesn't say make masa, it doesn't allow in the Quran saying that you are allowed to make masa. It doesn't say. Quran says sabit nahi hai, there is no evidence of making masa on the khufain from the Quran. In fact, Quran has said wash your feet. Quran says wash your feet. So where do we find this? We find the evidence of making masa on the khufain from the practice of our beloved Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It might come to your mind that if Quran says wash your feet, then who gives Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam the authority to legalize masa ala khufain and to break the general ruling of the Quran of washing the feet? Then you need to have the understanding that you cannot separate Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam from the Quran. You cannot separate the legalization of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam from the illegalities or from the legal matters of Quran. They go hand in hand. Because Quran says, أَطِيعُ اللَّهَ وَأَطِيعُ الرَّسُولِ. Obey Allah, which is Quran, and Quran also says obey the Prophet. So obedience of Prophet and knowing the practice of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam is just as good as the legalization of from Allah. There is another verse of the Quran that says, وَمَا آتَاكُمُ الرَّسُولُ فَخُذُوهُ. Whatever the Prophet gives you, take it. وَمَا نَهَاكُمْ عَنْهُ فَانْتَهُ. And whatever he prohibits you from, then refrain. So in other words, here what is Allah saying? That also listen to the, on top of me, listen also to the instructions and to the what Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has to say and has to do. Here alayhi salatu wasalam, I'm putting a little emphasis on this because there are many people in the world who says, how could Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam have the authority to override the ruling of the Quran? Does he have the authority of overruling the ruling of the Quran? Because Quran says, wash the feet. There are many people who are regarded as munkirin hadith, the rejectors of hadith. And they blatantly don't take any hadith which seems to appears to be contrary to the ruling of the Quran, they don't take it. They say whatever we find in the Quran, we take it. Quran is the only authority and there is no other authority. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had predicted such times. And one day he said to the Sahaba, it's very possible for a very overfed person, for a man full stomach, to recline on his couch and say, for me, whatever is in the Quran is enough. Whatever Quran has allowed, has made it halal, it's halal. And whatever Quran has made it haram, it's haram. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says that it might be very easier for somebody to assume this. And he actually said that he'll be very happily, you know, full, with a full stomach, reclining on his couch, make this statement. Then he said, do know that whatever I make it halal is just as good as Allah making it halal. In one hadith, our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that I have been given Quran and similar also on top along with it. What is that along with it besides Quran? It's his legalization. Is his instructions that he's referring to. Even on the occasion of farewell Hajj, when he gave the very important speech to the Sahaba, in which he says that taraktu fikum kita taraktu fikum ma in i'tasamtum bihi lan tadillu abada. I leave behind with you some matters. If you are going to remain cling to them, then you will never be, you'll never be misled. And what did he say? Kitabullah wa sunnatu nabiyhi. The book of Allah and the sunnah of his prophet. Both things together. So you cannot separate the legalization and the instructions of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam outrightly, totally from the Quran. So yes, Quran says you must wash your feet. But when we look into the practice of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we find that he has made masa on these so-called khuffain, on these leather socks. Jarir Ibn Abdullah al-Bajali, the Sahabi, he says that I saw Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he answered the natural call, he passed water. After passing water, he came and he made wudu. And after making wudu, he made a masa on khuffain. So what does that explain? It explains that to make a masa on khuffain is acceptable because the Prophet has just been to the toilet. It's not that he was just making wudu on top of wudu, that already he had wudu from before and he's just making a fresh one. So he never really had to take the socks off and the shoes off because he never had to do wudu in the first place because he already had wudu. No, his wudu was broken. He went to the toilet. He's come out of the toilet, so his wudu is broken. And then not only that he made this wudu and it wasn't really wudu because he didn't read salat with it. He made wudu, he made masa on them and he read salat. So that clearly explains the permissibility of making masa on the leather socks. There is another sahabi, Mughira ibn Shu'bah. Well-known Sahabi, a very learned Sahabi. He reflects his own experience. I accompanied Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the expedition of Tabuk. It's the famous jung and battle that was supposed to be fought against the enemies of Islam. During that journey, Mughira ibn Shu'bah radiallahu anhu says that he alayhi salatu wa sallam went far away to answer the natural call. And as he returned, I was ready with a jug of and with a container of water to help him with wudu. So I started helping him with wudu. And when he reached to the point where he had to wash his feet, at that time he was wearing the leather socks. So I started, I intended to take his socks off. I intended to take his socks off in order to help him wash his feet. As I intended to take the socks off, he said, "Dahuma, leave them alone. I have worn them, I have put them on with taharat." And then he made masa on the socks. Besides this, there are approximately altogether about 80 sahaba who are reporting that we have seen Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam making masa on the leather socks. So making masa on the leather socks was a very common practice in the time of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It's not that only on one occasion somebody saw him, so now we doubt whether did he really see it, or was it some misunderstanding? Was it just a double wuzu that he was making? Wuzu on top of wuzu when he already had wuzu anyway? No. There are approximately 80 sahaba who confirm masa, the validity of masa on the leather socks. All muhaddithin, all fuqaha and jurists and all scholars, they are all unanimous that masa on the leather socks is acceptable without a single difference of opinion. The only difference of opinion who make on this issue are the Shia and the Khawarij. Otherwise, Ahlus Sunnah wal Jamaat, whether they are Maliki, Shafi'i, Hanbali, Bukhari, Muslim, Muhaddisin, Fuqaha, all are unanimous that is acceptable. This is why Masa Alal Khuffain Maqsood has become a sign of belonging to Ahlus Sunnah wal Jamaat. In order to know whether somebody is min Ahli Sunnah wal Jama'at or whether he is outside, in other words, he's Shia or Khawariji or another deviated sect, then this is a way of knowing it. Because all Sunnis are unanimous about Masa on Khuffain. Question is, most important question, what type of socks are you allowed to make masa on? I would like you to know, just like in this day and age, plastic, everything made of plastic or synthetic, this is very commonly used, it's very accessible. In those times, the most commonly material used was leather. Leather most accessible. Leather is more cheaper as well. So generally the socks used at the time in the time of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam was leather socks. These socks were not worn the way with the intention that we wear it. You know, we wear it for whatever reasons, right? These people, they wore these was their final footwear. This was their final footwear. In other words, they walked with them then. It was like the way we wear our shoes. This is how their khuffain worked, and this is why they wore. And these were the ones that he alayhi salatu wasalam would make the masa on. The khuf, the leather socks, those used to be the final, the top footwear that they used to wear. All are unanimous that if these socks are made of leather, then you are allowed to make masa on them, provided they are big enough to cover your ankles. They are big enough to cover up to your ankles. So if the socks are made of pure leather, then you are allowed to make masa on them provided they are full, whole. In other words, they will completely hide your whole foot from the beginning of your toes up to above your ankles. In other words, the amount that is necessary for you to wash in wudu. If your khuf are covering this part of your feet, then they are perfectly fit enough and good enough for you to make masa on them. There is no difference of opinion about that. Now there is a difference of opinion that besides leather socks, what other type of footwear are you allowed to make masa on them? And this is a debatable issue. There are some narrations where you will find that it says that Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has made masa on socks. It doesn't say leather socks, it doesn't say khuf, it says on socks. Now this is a debatable issue whether those hadiths are valid or are they extremely weak and so on, and should they be acceptable, especially if they come clashing against the normal ruling of the Quran of washing the feet. With Hanafi school of thought, number one, leather socks that will cover, that are full in size, you are allowed to make masa. Leather socks, if they are not fully leather but the sole part is of leather, you are allowed to make masa on them. It doesn't matter what the upper part is made of. Again, the same condition that the upper part should be full and covering up to the ankles. Also, you are allowed to make masa on those socks that are not made of leather. The sole isn't of leather, but they are made of a thick material. So thick, it's a type of material that if you pour water over them, then the water will not seep through. In other words, they're made of thick material, water resistant. It doesn't allow the water to seep through. That's one condition. Second condition, they are strong enough that if you put them on, then the material stays in its place without being tied to your feet. For example, if socks are made of very fine and thin cotton, will they stand like this? No, they will not. They will fall off, isn't it? Then you need elastics and everything, like we have in the normal socks that keeps the socks against our feet. But if the material is thick, it will stay on your shin without dropping. So in other words, they should be made of thick material. So what is thick material? Thick material is, number one, if you pour water over it, it doesn't seep through. Thick material means that they will stay on your shin, above your ankles or near around your ankles, without dropping, without being tied. They will stay like this, standing. Thick material means that if you walk with them for few miles, then they will not rip. If you walk for few miles, about 3 miles, if you walk with them, then they will not rip. When these conditions are met in any type of socks, then you are allowed to still make masa on them. So for example, what socks can you think of that, Abbas? Okay, not made of real leather, genuine leather, but maybe they are made of something plastic like this. You know, normal practice that with the jackets are made of. They're not leather. This other synthetic material, but appears to be very much like leather. It doesn't allow the water to seep through. They're strong enough. The material is strong and it can stand. So yes, with socks made of such materials, you are allowed to make masa on them. Because this, meeting these conditions means that the material of the socks is thick. Question is, the normal cotton socks that I wear and you wear, are you allowed to make masa on them? These normal socks, generally the opinion is, again, there is a difference of opinion. You go into the depth and there is a big difference of opinion among different scholars and schools of thought. Generally, the opinion about these socks, cotton and linen socks, you are not allowed to make masa on them because they don't fulfill the criteria. If you look at them, number one, if you pour water over them, the water will seep through. Your socks will get wet, your feet will get wet. Number two, you can hardly walk with them for a couple of miles, especially if you have bought them from Primark. They will not last for too long. Number three, they will not stay on around your shin without being tied. At the moment these are being, they stay around your shin because they are tied with elastic. So generally with these socks on, you are not allowed to make masa on them. Why the masa is allowed on these, on the leather ones and leather type ones, but not on these cotton socks? Because what it is, ulama say that the general standard ruling is you must wash your feet. Now, if Prophet ﷺ has been witness to make masa rather than washing his feet, then we will only restrict the ruling under those circumstances that Nabi ﷺ would witness to make masa on them. Because the general ruling is wash your feet. If you want to break that, that can only be broken by what Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has practiced. So if he has only practiced making masa on the hoof, then we'll only allow the masa on hoof and hoof type. We will not extend it any further than that. आ गए तुम जी
जी
टू इश्यूज एक तो अब्दुल पाक रसूल की हदीस भी है जुराबैन के बारे में
I've already, before he goes on and on, okay, just I've already said there are hadith about making masa on the word socks have been used. But there is a big debate from a hadith perspective whether those riwayat are acceptable or not. And generally those riwayat about jawrab and socks have been regarded as an error in explaining. You know, the sahabi was trying to say he made masa on khuf, but the word jawrab has been used instead. So there are some very sort of technical debate amongst the muhaddithin about the validity of such narrations where masa on socks have been validated. Let me, no questions at this time. Let me continue and then at the end, inshallah, we will entertain.
जी ऑन हिज लास्ट डाइंग डे जी हां ही वोर जुराबैन एंड ही क्राइड एंड ही सेज आई हैव कम इन टू द हदीस एंड नाउ आई विल प्रैक्टिस दैट एंड ही डिड द मसा हिमसेल्फ बट देन बाकी के जो हैं वो बस वो जो पहले ने वो बताया था वही चलने दो ये है क्योंकि सर्टेन सेक्ट के वो जो वो प्रैक्टिस नहीं करना चाहते वो हदीस को भी खारिज कर देते हैं.
I want you to know that this issue about making masa on the socks, whether it's valid or not valid, it's not a Hanafi issue. Other schools of thoughts are also, are of the opinion, overwhelming majority of other schools of thought is also the same, that masa on these socks are not valid because they do not validate those hadiths in which socks have been mentioned. But yes, what Tariq is also saying is to a certain extent true. In the time of Imam Abu Hanifa, he was dead against Jawrab, making masa on the Jawrab. Then in his latter days, he started, whereas his students were in favor. And then in his final days, he used to make masa on Jaurab, which means the socks. Now the question is, what type of Jaurab were they? Were they very thick, normal Jaurabs of those times? Or were they socks of those time, of these days today? That's a big question. So the Hanafi school of thought now stands that ihtiyat isme hai, precaution is that let's not allow on this normal nowadays socks, is ihtiyat isme hai. Ji, taharat ke baab mein. Ji.
ये जो नहीं करना चाहते वो तो 101 दलील अपने आप से जाएंगे जैसे 3.5 मार्च चल रहे हैं वो पानी उसमें जाता है नहीं ये हुजूर पाक की कोई हदीस है ये तो खुद इन्होंने बनाए हुए हैं
खुद ने बनाया हुआ है क्यों I'm not here to sit and here to invalidate and unauthorized fuqaha and muhaddisin जी
ये तो कंडीशन है ना कि अपने बनाए हुए हैं
What can you answer? It is one of the signs of Qiyamah wa la'ana akhiru hadhihi al-ummati akhiraha. The latter part of the ummah will say false and wrong things to the former part of the ummah. Ab ye kehna ki ye jo bade bade fuqaha guzre hain ji. And all that fuqaha's tasrihat and the information given, you know, ne apne banaye huye hain, apne banaye huye hain, apne banaye huye hain. And when we talk about this, we talk about the likes of Imam Shafi, Imam Malik, Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal Malik, and all the rest of them as well, after them as well. Ji. So certainly I don't have the jurat and the courage to be part of that in any way. Ji. However, a bit from hadith, and I mentioned before even Tariq raised the issue, what did I say? That yes, in hadith there is some debate about the issue, whether the socks are allowed to be made masa on. But generally, the opinion is about those hadith that they cannot be accepted. Abu Bakr, what's up? Right, okay. If you have got large boots on, large shoes that only come below the ankles, your shoes I wear and the shoes that you wear, those shoes are not good enough to make masa on them because they don't give full coverage. They should be at least big enough to cover your ankles. However, if somebody is wearing those boots which cover the ankles, even though they are put on with the lace and everything together, that doesn't matter. That's not an issue. So if you've got those boots on and you make masa on them, there is no harm whatsoever and it's acceptable. Or if you have got those rainy boots, what do you call them in English? Wellies. Right. If you've got wellies on, and you make masa on them, then fine. Of course, you're not allowed to take them off during salat time because that newly invalidates masa. So yes, you are allowed to make masa on those boots, provided and on those wellies, provided you are going to read salat with them. Question is, are you allowed to read salat with them if they are parked? And the environment when the place and the venue where you are reading salat accepts and accommodates that, then there is no harm from a technical perspective. It's a different case whether the venue does not allow it because it's all newly carpeted, or generally people take it as a big offense for people to be with the shoes on in that area. Yeah, that's a different case. But generally, from a technical perspective, with the boots on, with the wellies on, your salat is done. Ji. And generally, you know, lifestyles have changed. In Masjid al-Nabawi, there was no artificial flooring or additional flooring on top of the earthen floor. Right? So it's sandy. And generally, the Sahaba, including our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, used to offer salat with the na'alain, with the slippers on. Okay, they weren't big boots and wellies, but they were light slippers, which they used to wear, make salat with the slippers on. In fact, there was a time when he alayhi salam was leading salat, and in his salat he was informed by Jibreel alayhi salam, there is dirt on your slippers. Take them off. Dirt means proper najasat. So he alayhi salatu wasalam, whilst leading salat, he took them off. So as Sahaba saw him taking the slippers off, what did the Sahaba do? They took their slippers off. So Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, after salat, said, listen, what made you take your slippers off? Because we saw you taking it off. So we took ours off. And then this is when he said that I was informed by Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam that there is dirt on your slippers, and this is why I took them off. So yes, the venue allowed, the circumstances allowed, because of the sand and again the heat as well. And the heat as well. So it was acceptable and fine. So boots, you are allowed to make masa on them. Wellies, you are allowed to make masa on them, provided they are full shoes. And if you look at the shoes, they meet the requirements. Number one, you put water on it, it will not seep through because it is thick. Number two, it can withstand walking for a good few miles. We've been wearing them for years now. So it can withstand walking for a good few miles. And yes, it can stay in their place without tying. Next. Before you are allowed to make masa on these socks, you have to have full wuzu first and then put them on. Remember this. Don't be confused. You are only allowed to make masa on these socks provided before putting them on, you should have your wudu. First, in other words, first you will have to wash, make the whole wuzu, wash your feet and then put them on. Now in future, after putting them on with full wudu, if next time you break your wudu and you want to make wudu, then you are allowed to just make masa on them. In other words, just pass your wet hands over them. But initially, before putting them on, you must be having full wudu and you must have washed your feet. This is one condition. Second condition is you are only allowed to continue making masa on them for as long as you don't take them off. As soon as you've taken them off, your masa or your wuzu, your masa is broken now. They're not valid anymore. So you again put them on, that's not good enough. Because let me tell you as a principle, right, from a fiqh perspective, it's a technical issue, but let's hope you understand. When a person becomes affected with anything that breaks wuzu, for example, he's been to the toilet. So this najasat has now penetrated in him, making wuzu necessary. What these socks do, they block the najasat. They block the najasat from entering. But what they don't do is, they don't get rid of the najasat which is already from there before. So if you haven't got your wudu and you haven't washed your feet, just putting on the socks, that does not get rid of the najasat already there. Yes, once you have done that, next time when any najasat will come and try to attack you, your masa alal khuf, your khufain will prevent them, will stop them. So these khufs, they prevent the hadas and najasat entering, but they don't get rid of it once it's already there. So this is why it's important that you put them on once you have made full taharat, and then you put them on. After that, whenever your wuzu will break, you only have to make masa on them. You are allowed to continue making masa on them if you are at home for 24 hours. If you are traveling, then this time is extended three times as much. In other words, for 3 days and three nights, you are allowed to make masa on them without taking them off. Without the need of washing your feet, provided you haven't taken the socks off. You've kept them on. So if you are in your home country, in your home place, at home, then you are allowed to make masa, continue making masa on them each time your wuzu breaks for another 24 hours. From what time? Not from the time when you put them on. From the time when your wuzu will break next time after putting them on. So you put them on now. What time? 10 o'clock example. You put them on now at 10 o'clock. Okay, and your wuzu broke at 1 a.m. So now your 24 hours will start from 1 a.m. From the time when first time after putting them on your wuzu breaks, this is when the time gets calculated. So if you are in your own place, home place, 24 hours, day and night. And if you are traveling, then with just like with journey, or there are other concessions given because you're a traveler, there is this further concession given that you are allowed to continue making masa on them without the need of washing your feet for 3 days and three nights, in other words, for 72 hours from the time, the first time the wuzu will break. The condition is, as I said, you must not take your socks off. As soon as you have taken your socks off, you are not allowed to continue making masa on them.
Even one.
If you have even take one off, then still you are not allowed to make masa on them any longer. Yes, even one. Even if you have taken half of your foot off the out of the socks, then still your masa has been invalidated now. You are not allowed to continue making masa. I don't want to go too much into the nitty-gritty, so I'm just explaining from the main parts which is necessary. Aur har cheez ke andar keeda nikalna ye tareek hi ka kaam hai. اللہ آپ کو حسن خاتمہ نصیب کرے, اللہ حسن خاتمہ آپ کو اللہ نصیب کرے. میں آپ کو صحیح کہتا ہوں, اٹس اے ویری امپورٹنٹ دعا اسپیشلی فار یو. جی, جو قربانیاں دین کے خاطر انہوں نے دی ہیں, واللہ آئی سویئر بائی اللہ, می اینڈ یو کین ناٹ ایون امیجن. Me and you cannot even imagine. The muhaddisin and the fuqaha used to travel for masail and for one hadith through desert land for days and days, many times without food. And it comes in the books that when they used to urinate, there would be no water in their jism, so they would urinate blood. What would come out would be blood. خون میں پیشاب ہوتا اور پانی تو کم ہوتا, وہ حرارت, یو نو دا ہیٹ آف دا ڈیزرٹ لینڈ. جی, اینڈ موسٹ سنسیئرلی دے ہیو ڈن دیئر بیسٹ کیپنگ دا قرآن اینڈ حدیث ان فرنٹ آف دیم اینڈ ٹرائنگ ٹو ڈیڈیوس ایز مچ مسائل ایز پاسبل. اٹس اے ڈفرنٹ کیس, چانسز آر دیٹ ونز اپینین از گوئنگ ٹو بی اسٹرانگر دین دی ادر, دی ادرز مائی اپینین مائٹ بی اے بٹ ویکر دین دی ادر, بٹ سنسیئرلی دے ہیو ڈن دیئر بیسٹ ود ان واٹ ایور مینز اینڈ ریسورسز اینڈ انفارمیشن دے ہیڈ ایٹ دا ٹائم. About the timing, one gentleman, Sahabi radiallahu anhu, comes to Aisha radiallahu anha asking her about how long is Masa'al al-Khuffain valid for how long? So Aisha radiallahu anha referred him to Ali radiallahu anhu, who said, go and ask Ali radiallahu anhu, who has been in the company of Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in travels as well. So the gentleman Sahabi goes to Ali radiallahu anhu, and he Ali radiallahu anhu confirmed that Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has given permission of masa for a day and night for somebody who is at home, and for 3 days and three nights for somebody who is traveling. The reason I'm saying this, that this is not just, again, a made up, you know, the timings are not just made up, they are directly from prescribed and regulated by timing, directly by Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. One more important issue about Masa'al al-Khuffain. Masa'al al-Khuffain is only good if you are in need of wudu. But if you've got the, if you have made full wudu, you put the socks on. After putting the socks on, ghusl became farz on you for some reason. Ghusl became farz on you. Now, is it good that you will just make masa' on the socks instead of washing the feet? No. Once ghusl becomes necessary, then masa on the socks is not good enough. Here now you will have to take your socks off and you will have to wash your feet. If you have made full wudu, you put the socks on, now you've started making masa, every time you broke your wuzu, you were making masa on them. Suddenly there was a time when the time expired, the 72 hours expired, a 24 hour period expired. But your wuzu is not broken at that time. Then now, yes, your masa is broken, time has expired. So now you don't have to do full wuzu. What would you have to just do? Take the socks off and wash the feet. And then you can put them on again, and again 24 hours.
So you don't have to do full wudu again?
No, you don't have to do full wudu again.
You know, when I was in uni, you know, when people used to do wudu in the bathroom, even once I did it, and I realized after, I think I was doing it wrong. You know, the floor is dirty, you have your shoes and you have your socks, so you take your shoe off and you take your sock off, you know, wash your feet. But then, I accidentally once I dried my foot, put it on, and then I washed my other foot. A friend of mine, he said to me that, you know, you can't...
Rashid, tu hun kare? So football score to check na kar to. Dekhna Umar, ye Liverpool ka supporter hai, wahan baithe baithe score na check karta ho.
Scoring website
pad raha hai. इसलिए कि मैं खुद भी देख रहा हूँ जी, नहीं मैं देख रहा था वक्त क्या है, तो मेरी स्क्रीन पे भी आया है जी, अच्छा ही रिजल्ट है जी. जी सॉरी अबू बकर, यस सॉरी.
What?
No. Wrong information altogether. It doesn't mean that before you dry, you have to complete your wuzu. You can continue drying your parts of wuzu as you go along. Wash your face and dry your face, and then wash your arms. Dry your arms and then wash your feet. That's got nothing to do with it.
Instead, everything has to be wet.
No. You can't mufti tha. It's important that you don't give out wrong masails to anybody. आपके शागिर सब दुनिया में मालूम है कितने पैदा हो गए हैं जी. बरे सगीर के आप भी हो, जिसमें से तारिक सबसे बड़ा मुफ्ती है इनका. इनका बाप तारिक है.
ये जो हजूर पाक के हदीसों से कीड़े निकालते थे, अब ये देखो ये खुद कीड़े बन गए.
अच्छा, फाइनल इशू. Once you've got the socks on, once you've got the socks on. Furthermore, question is, now lots of you may be thinking that where do you get these socks from, where you can also use the shoes on top of them, isn't it? It's a big issue. Then yes, these days there are some companies that have manufactured such socks, which on one hand you can use them as normal socks and put shoes on top of them, but at the same time, from a fiqh perspective, these socks are good enough for masa over the socks. You can get these socks. These socks are available from Muslim bookshops, where you can still put them on as normal socks on, but and put shoes on top as well. But they are, the material used in order to make them is different and is Sharia compliant and khuf compliant. Once you've got the socks on, how do you make masa on them? You wet both hands. You use the right hand for the right foot and you use the left hand for the left foot. How do you do it? You put your right hand, starting from the toes, of your feet, and you drag your whole hand on top of your khuf, on the top part of the khuf. Masa on the khuf is not done on the sole part. The masa is done on the top part of the khuf. So you place your wet hands, you wet your hands with water, you place the right on the right foot and the left hand on the left foot, and you start from the front of your toes, keeping both hands resting on the feet, on top of your feet, and you drag them towards your ankle side. Chahe same time karo, chahe aage piche karo, both is allowed. Either right hand and you use it for the right foot and you do them both together, or you can do them one after the other. Ek hi dafa. Ek dafa. Kyun isme janbujh ke ye takallufat kyun karne ki zarurat hai ye? बस इस मसा किया, दोनों किया, जब तरीका आपको बताते हैं तो क्यों अब ये कहना कि मैं वहाँ करूँ और वहाँ करूँ? जी अच्छा, सो राइट हैंड विद, दिस इज द सुन्नत मेथड, एंड यू डू द मसा ऑन द टॉप पार्ट ऑफ द सॉक्स एंड नॉट द सोल पार्ट. Any questions about Masal al-Khuffain? Ji. You can wear them any time. Yes, as long as when you have put them on, you've got wudu.
Ji. So when the underneath, it's got the leather, the leather sole, the top part obviously have to be that thick material.
This is Hassan, good question. This is the one question that I also wanted clarity, whether the top part needs to be as thick material as we have discussed, meeting all the conditions, or can it be all the normal socks that we wear? Otherwise it would be very easy then, isn't it? Just have our normal nylon socks and just have the sole part made of leather. To kitna aasan ho jayega. Itne mehenge bhi nahi honge, and we can comfortably put the shoes on top as well. Ask Hazrat Maulana Abdul Rahim Sahib, he has written a very long article on this subject. Very pro-Hanafi, very pro-Hanafi. Yes. Very pro-Hanafi perspective, from a very pro-Hanafi perspective. Ji. Sorry?
Give him one of the copies.
No, listen. What Tariq is saying, wallahi, that is also another genuine opinion. And there are difference of opinion. But what I am saying, that whilst respecting that opinion as well, we also have to respect the Hanafi or whatever other opinions are. You know, that's the, and me being Hanafi and you being Hanafi, I have to present to you the Hanafi perspective. Yes, I like to discuss other opinions so that you can have respect for other opinions. This is why I present to you other opinions. So because next time when you see somebody doing differently, then you don't brand him with a bad name. You understand? Otherwise, yes, there is an opinion about making masah on these normal socks. Ibn Taymiyyah is of that opinion. There are some more scholars who are of that opinion. But generally then the opinion of Hanafi and other schools of thought is what I have presented to you. So the where maybe we and Tariq clash is he just likes to be anti-Hanafi.
No.
In all, it's all about anti-Hanafi. All right. And I don't like that stance. Or is wajah se nahi ki I'm Hanafi. It's just that I say that nahi, har ek ki opinion ka bahut ehtiram karo. And alhamdulillah, the way I explain to you, the reason I give you the evidence is so that you also know what other opinions are. And what hadith has to say.
ये जो बाकी के हैं वो जो खुद अपने उस्ताद से अग्री नहीं कर रहे और दे देना वाला रीजन हनफीज
हसन जब मुआब्दुर रहीम साहब आएंगे ना तो एक मुलाकात तारिक के साथ होगी बेचारे हजरत के थोड़े बाल जो सब काले रह गए हैं वो भी सफेद हो जाए और सफेद हो जाएंगे
जो जो हनफी सो कॉल्ड इमाम अबू हनीफा के रिजू को नहीं मानता हालांकि इज पार्ट ऑफ हिस्ट्री
नो माशाल्लाह हजरत मौला अब्दुल रहीम इज अ वेरी वेरी लर्नड पर्सन माशाल्लाह हदीस फिकह ऑल्दो ही इज क्वाइट रिजिड हनफी जी सो अच्छा होगा आपके साथ मुलाकात हो जाए तो No, he's not like that, mashallah. He's got a very big heart. He's got ilm, he's got wisdom. Alhamdulillah. Ji, any quick questions?
So, a quick question. I have a question. If someone has a wajib, he just does a farayat. He 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 does a
पढ़ सकता है जी
साहब ये बातें ना ये आधा आधा घंटा लगा के पूरा शावर यूज करते हैं और दो तीन जो छोटे जो फर्ज ये सब कवर हो जाते हैं
बार जल्दी भी होती
है जी बशर्ते कि आपके गुस्ल करने के बाद या उसके दौरान कोई ऐसा काम न हुआ हो जिससे वजू टूट जाए आप समझ गए हाँ जी लेकिन आपने वुज़ू किया उसमें वुज़ू आ गया कोई ऐसी चीज़ लाहिक नहीं हुई जिससे वुज़ू टूटता है तो फिर इस गुसल से आप वुज़ू नमाज़ पढ़ सकते हो ये सब इशू ऐसे हैं कि फर्स्ट ऑफ ऑल वी नीड टू वेरीफाई दैट हाउ वैलिड इज द ओपिनियन ऑफ मेकिंग मसा ऑन दिस नॉर्मल सॉक्स इफ द ओपिनियन टू अ सर्टन एक्सटेंट इज अ वैलिड ओपिनियन ऑल्दो डिफरेंस ऑफ ओपिनियन है मजॉरिटी क्या कहते हैं लेकिन स्टिल इट्स अ वैलिड ओपिनियन इट्स अ वैलिड ओपिनियन इन द लाइट ऑफ कुरान एंड हदीस Then there is no harm in accepting him as the imam and to lead this and to read salat behind him. But if he is following an opinion which is extremely rare, which is unknown from a Quran and Hadith perspective, the opinion is does not have that weight. Phir bachna chahiye. Ab ye nahi pata ki ye jo opinion hai validity masah ki in mozon ke upar hai, ye opinion kitni wazni hai. with Maulana Abdul Rahim Saab's article, he was very strong. You must not read Salat behind him. Right? Yes.
Kya kehta hai? Wo kehta hai agar imam Kaaba dekhe na wo saas ke upar se masjid ke piche namaz nahi padna.
Exactly. Sahi, sahi ka.
We have a short question. You know, for namaz, you meant to have your clothes above your ankle. Is that if it's below, it is your namaz accepted or not? So, because there's a lot of imams nowadays that they have it straight past there.
There's two issues here. One is the validity of Salat, and one, the act itself. If you have your trousers and garments hanging below the ankles, then this is regarded as a sin, especially if this is done out of pride. Ji. There are some muhaddisin who take this hadith conditionally. If it's done with pride, then it's bad and it's condemned. Whereas there are other muhaddisin who don't take this as a condition. In other words, it's condemned no matter what the intention is behind hanging the garment. Even it's just the normal sort of culture of having long trousers. You've done with that intention, it's still condemned. So there is a difference of opinion about hanging your trousers or your garments below the ankles, whether it's conditional with pride or not. That's number one. But that issue has got nothing to do with Salat. The Salat is valid. It's a different case. Why do you want to commit a crime whilst you are standing in front of Allah and leading Salat? So Salat is done, but it's a separate offense. If it's an offense. And he had no choice, did he? Once you told him. Yeah, no choice.
Does that come with like jubba as well?
Yes, it is.
Everything that goes from the top to the ankle, but it doesn't mean the top has to be below the ankle. From there you can come up with knees. You're wrong with anything. Yeah, I think it's a brother.
Yes, you can choose who to ask questions. Subhanallah wa bihamdihi. Subhan. I don't mind because, do you know what, at the end of the day, he's a very sincere person and my friend as well, so I don't mind these things. Agarche ye sab adab ke khilaf hai, lekin chalo. Jahan dosti hoti hai, phir wahan adab koi cheez nahi hoti. Wahan be-adab ho sakte ho wahan. Subhanallah.
Subhanallah.
Subhanallah wa bihamdihi, subhanaka Allahumma wa bihamdika, nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, tubu ilayka.
सही
का फजर की नमाज में इंशाल्लाह बात करेंगे मस्जिद में फजर में बात करेंगे नहीं नहीं कोई कोई नहीं फजर के बाद कौन सी तरह